Welcome to the Fight for Grade Level Reading. I'm Brian Reese. With me today is Myra Jones Taylor, Chief Policy Officer at 0-3, where she oversees federal and state policy, advocacy, and federally funded technical assistance. Welcome to the podcast, Myra.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, tell me a little bit about 0-3. What does it do?
So 0-3 is the nation's leading organization dedicated to infants and toddlers, and our sole mission is to make sure that all babies have a strong start in life. And we work with policymakers, professionals, and parents to make sure that they have the information, the know-how, and really the sense of urgency that they need to support babies' healthy development.
So where did the State of Babies yearbook come from? You published this back in February, right?
We did. This has been something we have been dreaming up for quite some time. We used to put together something called State Baby Facts, but we wanted to have something that would be able to really tell the story of how babies are faring across this country in all 50 states and the district in a way that made sense to policymakers and parents, and really get this in the hands of advocates to make sure that all the people who make decisions have this really important information.
So it covers 60 different indicators in policy domains, right?
That's right.
So how did you guys come up with the ones that you wanted to focus on specifically?
We had an entire technical assistance or technical expert panel who range from, you know, experts in nutrition, early childhood development, early learning, to make sure that we were thinking about those key indicators that really are connected to what we know about healthy child development. So, you know, a lot of times when we think about early childhood, folks just focus on early learning. But we know, especially for babies, that it takes a good health, strong families, and positive early learning experiences. So we found indicators that spread across those three buckets, if you will, and just made sure that they were meaningful, that we weren't just picking any old indicator out, but that they really did have a direct connection back with the science was telling us was a direct connection back to healthy development.
Gotcha. What was the big picture that you guys found once you had all the data together?
Yeah, well, we found that, you know, the littlest among us aren't doing so hot. They face many significant challenges in this country. And we also found that the state where a baby is born makes a really big difference in their chance in life. And so we were surprised by quite a few things. Things I think we think we're doing well by our youngest children, and we're really falling short in some pretty key areas. And another interesting thing that we noted is that 51% of all babies who were born in this country this year are children of color. Mm. And so the face of our nation is really changing. And you see that pretty clearly in the demographics of the children, the 4 million babies who will be born this year in the United States.
Right. Some of the things that I noted when I looked through the report is that were really surprising to me is that 45% of children live in poverty or low income.
That's another one that just really grabs you. It's hard. You can't turn away from that figure. When you think about the fact that in the first 3 years of life, the first year in particular, 1 million new neural connections are forming every second in the developing brain of a child. And when you think about adversity that comes along with poverty, we are putting a huge strain on the unlimited potential that all children are born with. That one is one that we really have to track. One other thing I wanted to note about that is in the 2017 census also tells us that all the age groups in this country, the one most likely to live in poverty are children from birth to age 3. Mm. So we really have a huge challenge if you think about the fact that this is our future and so many of them are facing adversity from their very first days and years of life. We really need to make some big shifts. And so that's what the 0-3, that's what the State of Babies yearbook was intended to call out.
Sure. Well, like you said, the states vary wildly on a lot of different things. Can you talk about some of the states that are near the top that are doing some great things that kind of elevate their 0-3 children?
Yeah, we broke this out into four different tiers that, you know, very cleverly spell out grow. And so the states that are doing well by babies, there's an interesting spread. So Colorado is doing really well. So, you know, state in the West, Delaware, so Mid-Atlantic. And then you surprisingly, this is actually really great. You have a state like, Montana. They're also doing very well by their babies. And some of that has to do with the fact the affordability of childcare. And then there's some other areas where they could stand to do better in terms of, for example, how they're supporting their families, if you look at the strong families category. But overall, we've seen states in the Northeast seem to be doing better.
I think that there's a lot of really interesting data kind of hidden below that level, too. I mean, Florida, my state, is ranked in the bottom quartile, and there's a lot of reasons for that. But there's also little bits of data that are really surprising to me about Florida. One is that we have twice the national average of developmental disabilities among our children, and we also rank very low on the amount of developmental screenings that we have available to our children.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, if you want to draw some connections there, we know that screening young children for developmental delays is best practice. If you find out earlier, then you can address those delays or those concerns earlier. And we know, because the brain is so plastic, because there's so much malleability that's happening those first 3 years, if you catch any concerns early, you can actually correct for them so that they don't have lifelong consequences for child's, you know, academic strengths or their ability in the workforce. But the longer we delay those screenings, or if a child is never screened, it's really hard to identify some challenges that may persist and worsen over time. And so, you know, you look at that figure there, that you have pretty low screenings and pretty high developmental delays. That's a great place where Florida could start to really take a look at their data and see, all right, there's a clear connection there. Let's tackle that one. The great thing about this report, why we think this is so important and we want to get this in the hands of families and advocates and policymakers, is this is providing people with a roadmap for the first time to say, okay, this is how our babies are doing, and here are some levers that we can start pulling today, and some that will take some pretty intense effort. But again, the science is pretty clear that failing to do so is not the best way to set up our young children or our nation.
How did the report change or focus 0-3's policy efforts?
You know, I think this is our first year of having the yearbook. And what this did was really just reinforce our efforts so far for many years. The fact that Medicaid expansion has, I think 34 states have Medicaid expansion. And then you look at how babies are doing there. Like, we advocate for that because we know that's really, really important to have babies have access to well visits and routine health checks. That's one that we've been advocating for quite some time and will continue to do. I think the look at strong families, and you think about the importance of paid family leave, which is something we've been kind of an outlier in the early childhood community, in that we've been on this one for quite some time, because again, the science is so clear that when parents have time to bond with their babies, parents do better, they're more effective in the workforce, and babies do better. And so just taking a look at where the country is right now, that this is an issue that's really gaining speed, and the fact that, you know, we can look at some states looking at the yearbook and seeing how we now have 7 states that have paid family leave, it shows us that we're gaining speed, but we really have a lot more work to be doing. It really just reinforces the work that we've been doing for quite some time. Having said that, though, it is having us take a deeper look at some areas that we know are so important, but, you know, because we're spread thin, we haven't necessarily focused our energies as much as we would like to. And so one of those is developmental screening, where we certainly advocate for that, but we haven't had kind of a deep, deep focus on that. And that's something that we're taking on to say, maybe this is a place where we should start to focus more of our energies and our efforts.
Tell me about Think Babies, because that's kind of an offshoot of this as well, right? It's the kind of call to action for what people can do.
That's right. Think Babies is our national campaign to make sure that every baby is our nation's priority. So we have a federal focus. So we just had our big advocacy day called Strolling Thunder, where we bring families from all 50 states and the district to the Capitol to meet with our policymakers to share their personal stories. So we had families sit down and meet with their members of Congress or the staffers of that member and really talk about their personal challenges and how smart policies like expanding access to quality child care or creating a national paid family leave program would have had a positive, a dramatically positive impact on their families. So Strolling Thunder is part of Think Babies campaign, and then the State of Babies Yearbook is also part of that campaign. So we're really saying we need the data. We need the data to make our case. So that's what we have with State of Babies Yearbook. And we need the personal stories. We need to make sure that there's a real face and body and, you know, and heart and soul behind these figures, and making sure that policymakers make the connection there and see the power that they have to get it right by those babies.
Do you find that in individual states' policy initiatives that it's better for organizations and people to focus on just one or two things to kind of push that forward? Or do you kind of look for a more blanket approach to advocating for policy change?
So we really leave it up to states to determine what's best for them. We know that as a national organization, we can do a lot. We can provide information. We can bring everybody to Capitol Hill and tell these stories. And we can do the advocacy that we do on a daily basis with our federal policymakers. But states know what's going to move. They know where their policymakers are. They know what the public will is behind some of these issues. And so you take a state like California with a new governor there, and there's huge momentum. I mean, of all the things Governor Newsom could have talked about in his first speech, and you think about a state like California where they have energy, they, you know, all the things that it's a complex state, like all states are. The first thing he did, though, was talk about early childhood and infants and toddlers in particular. And they have a multi-pronged kind of series of things that they're focusing on. That might be the right way to go for California, where there's a really big excitement around this issue now. But you take another state where they say, you know what, I know we're not going to be able to move on paid family leave right now, so let's not take that on. But you know what's really concerning us is child welfare. And we have some key legislators who really care about babies who are in the child welfare system. So let's pull on that lever. And then you build momentum. So it really just depends on, I think, the nature of that state and kind of the state of play.
This is an odd question maybe, but do you guys get involved with the upcoming, and by upcoming I mean really far in the future, presidential elections? Do you guys get involved with briefing candidates on both sides about the issues, but, you know, while they're still running, so that you can get some of that into their platform and their talking points when they're stumping?
It's so funny you asked that. So, you know, we are a 501c3, so we do not advocate for any particular candidate or any party. We are nonpartisan. But yes, we have been talking about doing that exact thing. Hmm. How do we make sure that every presidential candidate stump speech or every debate is infused with questions about and conversations about infants and toddlers? And it's not just one, you know, one throwaway question, but they're really grappling with the complexity of the challenge, but also the incredible power that a president and, you know, an entire administration can play and has on changing outcomes for young children. So, yes, we have been talking about that quite a bit.
Neat. I mean, that makes sense. So far, I've actually heard two different candidates mention grade level reading in different arenas. So it's interesting to see how that gets into the public eye through that venue. It's fascinating.
And I love that example. I mean, I think Ralph Smith and everybody at the Campaign for Grade Level Reading, I know that's a big thing in Sarasota, I know it's a big thing in Florida. That has been the long game, right? That Ralph Smith has been talking about that number and the importance of, you know, reading on grade level for decades. And that's something that people really need to understand is, as attention spans are fleeting and we go from one thing to the next, babies and young children need us to stay laser focused on the things that really matter. And so doing something like an annual yearbook to bring everybody's attention back to these things is so important. And that's how you have the success of you know, the campaign for grade level reading, for example. So you can't turn away from it.
Right. So did you guys learn anything doing this for the first year? Things you're going to change in the coming years?
Yeah, so there are a few things we're thinking about for State of Babies Yearbook 2020. One is we are thinking about how we can refine some of our indicators. So I know one on child welfare is just, it's vexing to us. We want to make sure we're getting it right. Another thing that we talk about as an important outcome or extension of the State of Babies Yearbook is the call for better data. The yearbook is created based on existing data that's collected across all 50 states and the district, because we want to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples and that we don't want to have data that's only existing in a few states. And you know, there's no way to tell a national story if we don't have consistent data in all 50 states and the district. So that's one challenge has been that we just don't collect good data on babies. Mm-hmm. We don't collect good data on infants and toddlers at the national level and, you know, state by state. So one thing we're pushing for is to actually have some conversations about which data gathering, you know, what data we really need and how we can go about getting that.
It's always a vexing problem for any organization or any policy maker or anybody who wants to make a big change, is that you can't convince people unless you have all the data you need.
Right. And that there are real lives behind that data.
Right.
Which is the real importance of the way we see the Think Babies campaign is it's about building public will. It's about informing people. And you have to do that both with powerful data that's credible and reliable and readily available, and then powerful stories, real life stories of how that data is lived on a daily basis.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Myra. I really appreciate you coming on board. And anybody who wants to check out the State of Babies yearbook can go to
stateofbabies.org. And you can also learn more about our campaign, Think Babies, by going to thinkbabies.org.
That's right. And everyone should sign up, because you get great information on a regular basis from 0 to 3 about what you can do, even if you're already working in the field, but there's still more things you can do on a personal level by interacting with your legislators and policymakers.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. They don't want to hear from a national organization. They want to hear from providers and professionals on the ground who see what their policy, you know, they're living out the policies that policymakers are creating, and they really, really want to hear from parents. So you can go to thinkbabies.org and sign up and find out how you can connect directly with your member of Congress to get them to think babies.
That's right. If you're a constituent, they'll listen, at least for a while.
That's right. That's right.
Well, thanks again, Myra. I really appreciate it.
Oh, Brian, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for focusing on this issue.